Welcome to the Ben Greenfield Fitness.com podcast. We provide you with free exercise, nutrition, weight loss, triathlon, and wellness advice from the top fitness experts in the nation. So whether you're an Ironman triathlete or you're just trying to shed a few pounds, get ready for non-run-of-the-mill, cutting-edge content from BenGreenfieldFitness.com.
Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield here, and my guest today is Brian Johnson. Brian is the philosopher and the CEO of a company called Entheos, and I love how he describes it as a company that creates cool stuff to help people optimize their lives. And I first met Brian about 2 years ago through my MP3 player, and I had discovered this thing online called the Philosopher's Notes. I wanted to learn more about philosophy and personal growth, and so I downloaded 100 MP3s because I figured that would be faster than me reading all the books. And it was this guy named Brian Johnson, and he was actually spending about 20 minutes walking through all of like the biggest takeaways from the 100 greatest personal growth books of all time, from the Bhagavad Gita. Am I pronouncing that correctly, Brian?
By the way, Bhagavad Gita.
I got it. Well, I was close.
You were close.
To just a ton of old, like, you know, Stoic philosophy teachings and all these books, the names of most of which are escaping my mind. But anyways, I went through 100 of those philosopher's notes, and then later, through complete random chance, ended up hooking up with Brian via a Wellness FX consult. So I think, as many of you listeners know, I am a consultant for a company called Wellness FX that does blood testing and biomarker testing. And Brian happened to be one of the people whose results I went through with. And I actually helped him and his wife kind of interpret their Wellness FX blood testing results. And then began working and doing some online coaching with Brian for muscle gain and fat loss. And as I grew to know him, I realized he has this pretty incredible story. He's actually not only recorded all of these philosopher's notes, which I kind of thought was the only thing that he did, but he's actually got a lot going on from a business standpoint. He's had an incredible journey of kind of combining fitness and health and happiness and business success into a really cool package. And he also has some interesting characteristics, like he never sends email, like ever. He just doesn't use email, and I'm sure he'll give us his tip for how to do that, because I'm sure many of you would love to know how to never send emails again. He pretty much never says anything negative, ever. I'm not quite sure how he pulls that off, but since I've known him, I've never heard like one negative thing come out of his mouth. And he's just this unique combination of like a self-quantification biohacker kind of guy, and a philosopher, and a CEO, and a family man. I'll put a picture of him and his family up in the show notes for you if you want to go check him out over at BenGreenfieldFitness.com. But today, Brian's going to share with us his story and some of his biggest keys, some of his biggest wins to achieving that ultimate combination of fitness and health and happiness and business success. So, Brian, thanks so much for coming on the call today, man.
Ben, thank you. That's just an extraordinary introduction. And to give a shout out, we actually have Sarah Gottfried to thank for connecting us. So we did Wellness FX, and then we saw you were on there. And we're like, oh, we got to work with Ben. Sarah just recommended him.
Oh,
and
nice.
My wife actually said that. And, you know, one of the best decisions we've made. You've been such a great addition to our family. You've really helped dial us in, and appreciate you. And I'm excited to chat.
Well, that's fantastic. And Sarah was actually on the podcast. She did our What to Do When Being a Badass Ruins Your Hormones, I think was the title of that podcast. But it was one all about cortisol. So if you're listening in and you didn't hear the podcast with Sarah, go listen in. So anyways, Brian, can you tell me a little bit about how you got started doing what you're doing? Because I know initially you were in law school, but you didn't stick with that for long.
Yeah. So, you know, the last 15 years, since I dropped out of law school about 15 years ago, I basically spent half of it building businesses and half of it in philosopher mode, reading, writing, thinking. So I've built and sold two businesses. After dropping out of law school, the only thing I knew I wanted to do was to work with kids, to coach a Little League baseball team. And I did that. It led to a business idea, won a business plan competition at UCLA's Anderson School, raised $5 million as a 25-year-old entrepreneur, hired the CEO of Adidas to replace me, and just kind of, I call it my $5 million MBA. Learned a ton, created something pretty cool, and then sold that, and then took a few years off to kind of figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up.
By the way, that business that you sold, that was to the Active Network.
Yeah,
right?
which is relevant for this discussion. Yeah, so we sold it to the Active Network, which obviously registration for triathlons. And
yeah, I just registered for a Spartan yesterday on the Active Network.
So, right on. So they bought us because we were the team sport market. So we helped the Little League baseball teams, AYSO soccer teams, we plugged in the registration so that when you're signing your kid up to play sports, you're doing it through eTeams, which was my company, through Active. So yeah, that's perfect to make that connection. And spent a few years just reading and writing and thinking, ran out of money, and also wanted to create again. And so created my second business. And that was basically at the time MySpace was big. Facebook mm-hmm. wasn't around yet. Mm-hmm. MySpace for people who want to change the world, raised a few million for that. CEO of Whole Foods invested, some great investors, sold that to Gaiam.
And that's the yoga.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. The yoga TV is what that is, right? Or something.
Exactly. They have Gaiam TV. Yeah. And they do a ton of stuff in kind of the conscious space and NASDAQ business, I think, whatever they are. And then I spent basically 4 years, reading and writing. I gave myself a PhD in how to live. And those philosopher's notes were my master's project, 2 years, distilled 100 of my favorite books. And then I spent a few years tinkering with our business in Theos. And really over the last 3-4 months, it's just all come together and just really excited to lean into it. And, our vision is let's create one of the coolest, most virtues-based, impactful, and profitable businesses in the world. Mm-hmm. So,
If we could back up for just a second to this whole idea of the philosopher's notes, because like I mentioned, that was how I first kind of like heard your voice and inside my MP3 player was listening to you talk about, Marcus Aurelius and Jesus and all these philosophers. What was the impetus there? I mean, did you just read all these books and decide you were going to record the audios for them or what got you interested in that?
What a great question. Yeah. So I was running my last business, Zods, and I was reading 7 Spiritual Laws of Success. I was reading 4-Hour Workweek, this sort of thing. And I got to a point where I realized that business wasn't it. It was really great for a few years and it just wasn't it. And I decided to sell it within 30 days, had the deal done with Gaiam, money in the bank done. And I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew I wanted to study life and really immerse myself in wisdom and philosophy. And then I decided to give myself a PhD. I couldn't find a program that integrated what I wanted. It wasn't positive psychology. It wasn't religious studies. It wasn't an MBA. It was all of those things. And there wasn't a program that did that. Mm. And then, I was kind of banging my head against the wall. Well, what's it going to look like? How do I wanted to build a business. I wanted to prove that you can get paid to do what you love to do. And I wanted to get paid to read and to study and to optimize my life. Long story short, I was on a flight home. We took a trip to Tokyo. I was flying home. I opened up the Sky Mall to a company called Soundview that did summaries for business executives. I had one of those choir of angels moments, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to distill 100 great optimal living books and I'll mm-hmm. do exactly what they're doing. 6-page summaries, 20-minute MP3s. I'll do all the recording and all that stuff. And that was the basic kind of process and mm-hmm. then that little moment. And then just, moved to Bali for a year, spent a year in Bali just reading and creating these and had a lot of fun and learned a ton and we got to meet through it. So there you go.
Cool. I like it. So from that point, you had sold the Gaiam business and started into this Entheos thing. And, for people who don't really know what Entheos is, can you help us kind of wrap our heads around what that is and what you're accomplishing with that?
Yeah. So, sold Zods to Gaiam, spent basically 4 years as a philosopher, philosopher's notes, wrote a little book, that kind of thing. And then the last 3 years been kind of tinkering with Entheos and playing with a bunch of different things. And it's really come together over the last, really a couple of years, but last several months. And we do 3 primary things. So we produce conferences. Excited to be working with you later this year with extraordinary teachers. We just had one on meditation. 24,000 people attended it. with the world's luminaries on meditation. So we do conferences, we'll reach hundreds of thousands of people via that. We do basically like a Facebook for optimal living. So we just launched our beta a few months ago, 1,000 people joined on day one, almost 10,000 people there now, and we're really excited to lean into it. And just imagine, you know, there's Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, they're all great, but wouldn't it be cool if there's a social site that was all about this conversation? And that's what we're creating. And that's my real entrepreneurial background. So
I don't get it. What can you explain a little bit more about what you mean when you say like a Facebook for optimal living? Like, is this like a social network?
Yeah, it's a social network. I mean, that's what I've done. So I've built and sold two social networks. I built the leading social network for teams involved in sports. And then I built the leading social network for people who want to change the world. So
how would somebody actually use something like a social network for optimal living? Is it one of those deals where they go in and create a profile and just I mean, like, how would it be different than just like having your own Facebook account, for example?
Yeah. Well, it's exactly like having your own Facebook account. Only imagine none of the negative stuff, none of the news, and people who actually care about your last workout and your last meditation, what you ate yesterday, you know? And so it will be a way for you. Facebook is really great for connecting to people, you know, your brother, your sister, your aunt who lives 3 hours away and your grandma who's a couple hours away. It's fantastic in that sense.
So when I posted my heart rate variability data just this morning on Facebook, your social network would be a place where something like that might be more well received or understood
about it, just jacked up about it, you know? And then the other thing is that your fans, there's literally no way for your fans to meet one another. No, there's no way. It's not how Facebook is architected. Unless someone comments on a post, then you can click to their profile. And our whole thing is, look, if I'm following your podcast, your listeners right now have more in common with one another than with most people in their lives. And we want to connect them to one another. Mm. And that's what we think is transformative. And I have goosebumps as I say that because it's application only. You have to apply to join. And almost 10,000 people have already applied. We haven't done anything marketing-wise. Mm. And they all say the same thing. I'm tired of Facebook. It's awesome in so many ways, but I want something positive. I want to really engage in something that matters with people who are passionate about life and want to make a difference in the world.
Yeah.
So that's the idea. We'll have millions of people on that in the next few years and super excited. And then the third thing we do, so conferences, social, we call it the Oasis. And then we do the Academy. So we think it's weird that you go from math to science to history, but you're never taught how to live. Mm. And so we're creating the Netflix, kind of the Udemy for that, all about optimal living, working with guys like you and women like Sarah Gottfried for health, fitness, nutrition, and then positive psychology, relationships, parenting, conscious business, all the stuff you wish you were taught in a really cool format. That's our Academy for Optimal Living. So that's a quick look at the few primary things that we do.
Yeah, cool. I love it. And I know for those of you who are podcast devotees and listen to my episodes, I think I have mentioned before that I'm creating kind of like an online series of about 30 different courses with different experts. And that's actually going to be one of the Entheos courses later on this year. So yeah. You will, of course, be the first to know about that when it comes out. but Brian, let's delve into some of your big wins. And you know, one of the things that you're obviously into is health and optimizing your health. And have you always been that way, or was there something that happened in your life that got you more interested in that?
Yeah, another great question. I haven't always been like that. As an entrepreneur building my first business at 24, 25, 26, raised $5 million, you know, I call it the learning curve. It was like rock climbing, you know, went from two employees, me and my co-founder in our pajamas in the living room, you know, crushing it to 45 employees in 9 months. And, you know, it's tough and I didn't work out. I ate like crap and I felt like crap. And, I don't even know what the series of events were, but I was kind of always into this stuff, but I was just so busy. It didn't come in and it just wasn't working, you know? And so over the last 15 years, I've been kind of dialing it in. After I sold that business, I actually became a trainer just because I wanted to learn this stuff.
And you mean like a personal trainer?
Yeah. You know, no intention to actually train anyone, but just figured that'd be a good way to start, you know, getting some mastery in the domain, knowing that if I wanted to reach my potential, I got to dial in my energy. Mm-hmm. And so got into that and then just realized that, you know, I mean, it's scientifically just established. I know you know this and all of your listeners know this, but, you know, not exercising is like taking a depressant. Like it's just, we're biologically developed to move. And so it's become a fundamental part of my life. And I used to be super up and down, you know, like super passionate and then super down and stressed and overwhelmed. And exercise is my number one thing, non-negotiable, won't do it. And then you dialed me in because I was just rowing a ton. Like I rode 1,000,000 meters 2 years ago and show up and log my 5K and that kind of thing. But so I was doing fine, but you know, what you put me on with the high intensity interval training, some really great strength training, and then the nutrition that went with it just literally took me to a whole nother level. That's just been awesome.
So what about the nutrition side of things? Is that something that you've always been dialed into?
Well, I've always been experimenting on, and again, that's been transforming quite a bit. I was vegan for 7, 8, 9 years or something like that. And, you know, for a lot of kind of compassion reasons, and also believe that that was, you know, a good nutrition approach. And then I felt fine, you know, but I get migraines once in a while, and my wife had some skin issues, and you just, you know, we were open to experimenting as we were having our baby, whose name is Emerson. And Emerson says all life is an experiment, the more the better. We're like, you know what, like let's just try it out. You know, we read It Starts With Food and a couple other books, and some people on our team were really into it, and we're like, let's just do it. And went basically paleo and, you know, super clean. And it was huge. My energy levels just transformed. It just felt so much better. And then the work you and I did 6 months ago, whenever we started, of, you know, looking at the blood panel and really quantifying this and just dialing in it even further, has been awesome. So, you know, that's where I'm at now.
So let's go into a day in the life of Brian, which threatens to sound like a Family Guy episode, but which I think that is a Family Guy episode, Day in the Life of Brian. But in the life of Brian Johnson, I'm curious not only about kind of how you structure your day from a business standpoint of, for example, not checking email, and kind of how you manage your team, because I know a lot of people listening to our podcast who are entrepreneurs, who are into business, but then also, you know, kind of like how you're eating, how you're exercising, what a typical day is looking like for you.
Yeah. Again, really fun question. So my days start in nearly the identical way every single day. And we have a 19-month-old, so there's a little variance. You know, I check in for dad duty in the mornings, and depending on when he gets up, some things may move around in terms of timing, but sequence-wise, they all get done every morning. So I wake up, I tend to wake up early, 5, 5:30, go to bed super early, block, you know, whatever you call those things, you know, no blue light, glasses at night. We're just a dorky family. So get up early, and the first thing I do is meditate. I meditate for 20 minutes every single morning. In the last 5 years, I've missed one day, which was really funny. Whole another conversation.
And this is something I'm curious about, because you hear a lot of people talk about meditation, frankly. And a lot of people say, I get up in the morning and I meditate. What do you do? Do you do it while you're lying there in bed before you get out of bed? Do you go outside? Do you have a special room that you go into? Or what do you do?
Yeah, well, two things on that. One, I taught a class on this, which is the very first class I taught at the Academy, because I think most people go super out there and it's just, you know, whatever. Or it is what it is. But I wanted to teach it based on science and based on just practical common sense stuff. So I taught a class called How to Meditate Without Moving to the Himalayas. And we'll hook you up with a link so you guys can get it for free. And it's just, it's kind of my approach of why I do it and how I do it. But the short answer is I don't do it in bed. I'd fall back asleep. You know, I get out and I literally just, you know, have a spot in my office, and I sit in what's called hero's posture, which I like for more than one reason, you know, kind of gets me there. And which is basically my butt on my heels. When I first started, I had about 100 cushions, you know, to make it work. Now I can basically, whatever little pillow thing. And then I sit in what's called strong determination, which means you don't open your hands, you don't open your eyes, and you don't open your legs. You don't move because your physical discomfort is actually your mind. You know, like if you just let it be there, it would go away in 20 seconds or 30 seconds. So that's a big practice. And then I do mantra work. I do following my breath. I do different things depending on what I'm feeling. But I do it. I do it every day. And that and exercise and nutrition are my top three kind of hacks.
That meditation is right when you get up in the morning.
Right when I get up. It's the most important thing.
And then what happens next after that?
So then I do 5 minutes. You got me into this. You wanted me to do 10 minutes of yoga. I got five. you know, I do a derivation of the video you sent me You know, I make sure I do at least one sun salutation in the morning, just as out of principle. Haven't missed that since you and I started working together. Mm-hmm. And basic opening series, you know, just get mm-hmm. the body open. Nothing fancy. I mean, 5 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. And then I immediately go and I actually read a philosopher's note. I started doing that at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. Haven't missed a day. I'm on like 140 out of 100.
So you have those things not just as MP3s, but condensed into PDFs too, right?
Yeah. So I have them all printed out. And I wrote them 3 years ago. So I read them and it's like, damn, like this is like reading it for the first time. It's you know, Marcus Aurelius, like you said, and Emerson mm-hmm. and positive psychology. So I read one of those a day. Mm-hmm. And then actually, I do the 5-minute journal thing, which is mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. That.
It's really cool. Our whole team.
I do that every morning, and so well, and evening, of course.
Yeah, yeah, nuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, we bought that for our team and for some of our partners, and just we love it. And then I journal. I journal every single morning, and mm-hmm. I journal basically the exact same thing every single morning. On mm-hmm. I use a sketchbook. On the left hand side, I put my virtues. Mm-hmm. So as you know, I'm all about virtue and you know, a classic Greek ideal of arete, which we can talk about, and just what's important to me and who I'm going to be in life. And just I literally write that every single morning on the left hand side, and then on the right I journal about our business and mm-hmm. what our business is committed to being, what our big vision is over the next 5-25 years, and then what our kind of micro goals are this year, and then what is most important right now. Mm-hmm. And you know, I literally do that every single morning. I can't remember the last time I missed a day, and I snap a picture of it and I send it to our COO, who does the exact same thing. And
did you start into a practice like that? And would you say before you became successful or after you became successful?
I'd say yes, and I'd say that mm-hmm. I've started doing it casually when I really needed to do it back in the day, 15 years ago. You know, mm-hmm. when I really needed to come up with good ideas, I wouldn't go to the office and I'd journal. You know, mm-hmm. unconsciously I didn't know any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And since I've learned the power of consistency on fundamentals, and that's the hallmark of greatness, I've mm-hmm. just decided, well, what are the things that keep me in the game, that mm-hmm. keep me plugged in? And I'm 100%. I absolutely committed, non-negotiable. I do these things. Mm. And journaling has become that. And it's been that for probably, I don't know, 5-6 years. And, yeah. and it's an accelerant.
Yeah.
You know, I just groove it.
The reason I ask that is so many people, I get this from a lot of people, they hear about my morning routine. And it's, you know, it's similar to yours. I wake up, I journal, and while I'm journaling, I take my heart rate variability, and then I get out of bed and I do about 10 minutes of yoga, and then I go and take my cold shower. Mm. And the feedback that I get over and over again from people is, that sounds exhausting. How do you find all the time to do that? Mm. And it's one of those things where, you know, you make these little morning practices a part of your life, and it's not exhausting. And what I find, I don't know about you, Brian, but what I find is that when you start off your day slow and with purpose like that, it creates almost like this affluence of time.
Yep. Yep.
Later, this mentality of having an affluence of time that sticks with you the rest of the day. And you don't feel rushed or stressed. It's yep. it's a totally different feeling. And I think that it would seem to me that most of the people who say that seems exhausting or time consuming are the people who most need that affluence of time.
I think you can remove the qualifier, with all respect to people who say that. If you are saying that, you need twice as much of it, period. Mm-hmm. That's what yeah. all the great teachers say. I mean, that's just and then maybe not. Experiment with it. Your life might be working just optimally and there's no room for optimization. Fantastic. But all of us have room to optimize. And yeah. from what I've learned in both my studies and my experimenting is it's huge. And it does exactly what you described. Mm-hmm. We pay our team. We pay our team an hour a day. The first hour wow. of their day is on us to do these things. Every single person in our team meditates. They wow. journal.
That's
they
so cool.
exercise. And there's absolutely no drama. Our yeah. team is so high functioning, so high energy, so awesome to be around. And we invest where we think it matters, you know? So yeah, I'm with you. And the other thing I do is I do one of those, what are they called? Tea and chi mm-hmm. that you recommended?
I'm on the Chinese adaptogenic herb.
You got
complexes.
Me on the monthly deal with them. And you know, I rip open, I've got that ready. It's sitting there, my big old you know, 20 ounce or 25 ounce of water,
yep,
mason jar, ready to dump that thing into it. And I have that while I'm journaling.
Awesome. Awesome. That it's funny that you should mention that, because this is probably the first day in months where I haven't had a tea and chi in the morning. And it's because I broke one of my own rules this morning and I scheduled a phone call in the morning. I try and avoid any business at all in the morning. And it was one of those phone calls back east where it was the only time they could schedule it into. And so I started off my day after I'd finished my yoga and my cold chow. It was literally, I stepped out while I was still wearing my towel to get on this phone call and throw off my whole morning. And I haven't had my tea and chi, but we're going to make it through this interview either way.
That's fantastic.
We're
going to
do this. I'll hang on for dear life.
Yeah.
Without my drugs. So, awesome. So you got your tea and chi, and then, what's the rest of your morning routine look like from kind of like a yeah, breakfast to a business standpoint?
Yeah, well, then it's family. You know, for me, I'm on dad duty. My wife has taken over night duty, and we, you know, our little guy got up a ton, and she's just been a stud. So, you know, I'm first person he sees in the morning, and we've got our little deal, you know, and he gets up between 7 and 8. So I've got that period of time, and I'll do a little work after I do that stuff. You know, I'll go in and check out our Oasis and how the business is doing and respond to some emails and stuff like that. Or whatever else has come up. And then it's dad duty. So, you know, I love starting my day, you know, reading some books with him and changing his diaper and bringing him to his mommy. And, you know, we'd spend a little bit of time together. And then I hit it, you know, whether it's 8 or 9. And I don't schedule calls before 9. That's when my day, this morning I had one at 7, but mm-hmm, that's unusual. And then, you know, 9 o'clock, it's I'm on. And then one of the other things we do with our team that I frankly don't do consciously all the time is we identify what's the most important task. Right now I'm raising money. So that's my most important task. There's not a lot of ambiguity there. And I'm just hitting that super hard. And
so do you live by that philosophy of doing the hard thing first?
Yeah. And then I stretch back a little bit. We follow something called the domino strategy. So I love the physics of dominoes. So researchers say that you want to set a goal that's about 50% likely. It's a stretch, right? And so I was doing some research and I'm like, oh, you know, dominoes, like what's the next thing? We're all about straight line A to B. What's the next highest leverage thing? How do we 80-20 and just crush it? And then I found this video by a physics professor on the physics of dominoes. And it's just awesome. And I can send you a link to this as well. But they've got 13 dominoes. The first one is literally the size of your fingernail. He needed to use like a tweezers to put it in place. The next one is 50% bigger, and each one after it is 50% bigger. The 13th one is 3 feet tall, 100 pounds heavy. Mm. And this guy tells you that each domino can knock over a domino that's 50% bigger than it. And it's amazing. He starts this chain and boom, 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 boom. 13th domino falls easily. And he says you extend it another whatever dominoes, and you've got the Empire State Building. So for us, we're always ruthlessly focused on the next domino that we know we can crush, and that we know that if we can hit that domino, the next one will fall easily, and we just line them up. So that's how our team orients. We have very clear goals. We know precisely what we're up against and what we're going for this year, this quarter, this month, this week, and then what do we need to do today so that we can hit that goal. And it's, you know, we talk about high velocity. We kind of say we run our business like a 2-minute offense, you know,
gotcha,
just super aggressive, always offensive, and always really focused on what matters. And so that's how we approach it.
Now, at some point there in the morning, after your yoga and before you kind of start business and in between kid time or whatever, are you doing breakfast? Are you
yeah,
a fasted
yeah,
morning guy, or what's yeah, your routine look like?
You know, I did your, we did our, what do you have me on? The autoimmune protocol. And I did that, like, literally to the T, didn't break it
yeah,
once for like 6 months.
Yeah, we wanted to, hopefully I'm not breaking HIPAA regulations by saying this, but we wanted to shut down inflammation. You had some inflammation,
yeah,
and yeah, we had you on the autoimmune.
It's nuts. So you can say, you have my explicit permission to say any and everything you ever want to say about our work together. So my inflammation sucked. You know,
and you had malaria and HIV.
Yeah. Jesus, terrible. Jesus, thank God we were able to get both of those. Parasites were horrible. Oh my God. Still need to get that tested, by the way. You know, my inflammation, you know, wasn't where we wanted it to be. And it was nuts. I mean, what you had me do, we got on the autoimmune. I did my ginger, golf ball of ginger. I did my bone broth, like, to the, just impeccably. I followed directions very well. and we knocked it down. I didn't even know where it went, but you know.
You went below 0.2, went to rock bottom.
Nuts.
And there was no big gun supplements there. It was honestly mostly ginger and bone broth. And I believe, were you doing curcumin as well?
Yeah, the curcumin.
The phenocaine, yeah. And that was it. And it was amazing as far as the inflammation was concerned. And for you, after you kind of got off of doing kind of the paleo autoimmune thing, after going through that protocol, which is, by the way, for those of you listening in, it's a wonderful protocol, but not it's a phase. It's a chapter, not something that you use for your whole life per se, unless you have an autoimmune condition. But where did you go to from there? What's kind of a typical breakfast for you now?
Yeah, so I used to do, you know, the salmon, greens, olives, avocado, basically every day. That's what I did when I was on it hardcore. And now I reset. I used to have terrible, you know, blood sugar issues, as you know, and my energy level would be weird, and I'd need to eat all the time when I was vegan, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now it's amazing, where I never could skip meals without the risk of me literally getting a migraine back in the day, years ago, even 2 years ago. And then it just became literally bulletproof, where I actually, this morning, I started it off, I'm doing kind of we do fat tea, I do longevity tea with a huge scoop of ghee and sometimes a little MCT, although I pulled back on that a little bit, and I just feel great. So really having that built-in, I forget what you call it, but, you know, fasting period, and then want to make sure I eat a little bit this morning, so wife cooked me up a little bacon and greens, you know. But then I'll usually do lunch, which is, you know, pretty straightforward, the protein and ton of greens and ton of fat. And then you've got me also, you know, checking how much fruit I'm eating and do a lot of blueberries and cherimoyas were in season, so enjoying, you know, one of those a day kind of thing. But super simple. And then another fat tea in the afternoon and simple dinner, a little lighter than lunch, and it just feels so good.
Yeah. And for, by the way, for you vegan listeners listening in, you know, very, very common to have that inability to turn yourself into more of a fat burning machine because of the propensity for starches, for grains, and for some of the more simpler sugars and fruit-based sugars when you're following a plant-based diet. But I've actually seen, you know, some vegans be able to get themselves into pretty high levels of fat oxidation, and it takes things like, you know, nuts of all kinds and avocados and ground flax seeds and olive oil and, you know, even a lot of these EPA DHA sources for vegans like spirulina and chlorella, you know, and algae forms. Like, you know, I don't want vegans or vegetarians listening in to think that, you know, you're always going to have appetite fluctuations, but, you know, Brian kind of alludes to a really good point, is that it is important to be able to train your body to be able to oxidize fat. And frankly, it's important from a productivity standpoint too, to just be able to work and not have to worry about taking breaks for snacks.
Yeah. My mind is just, you know, in the afternoons it would get a little, you know, less grounded, and it's just solid, you know. And now I know, like, I don't go to fruit or something. I go to a fat tea, and it's just bam. I just walked in and feel so good.
So your fat tea, you're using ghee in that. And are you using a green tea or a black or a white, or what's your tea source?
So I do something called longevity tea. I think it's dragon herbs, which I love. And I'll do one or two of those a day. And then, you know, just an herbal tea. I don't do any caffeine. Okay. I got enough energy that I just, maybe I'll experiment with that at some point, but, you know, I like to keep it right where I like it, you know, and it's nice and even without any caffeine, but mostly the longevity tea, and then some herbal, even chamomile in the afternoon kind of thing.
Yeah, I see that longevity tea. It's here on Amazon. I'll throw a link for folks in the show notes. You can check this out. And it's is it all caffeine free, that longevity tea?
Yeah, it's got some different adaptogens in it, but my understanding is it's caffeine free.
Yeah, cool. I like it. So from an exercise standpoint, you're obviously doing the meditation and a little bit of yoga in the mornings. But when do you do your harder stuff when it comes to exercise?
Yeah, so I'll do my workout after our chat. I'm just still following your plan, literally. You know, you had me on 3 strength, 2 hits. I'm now doing 3, 4, 5 of those a week. Kind of fluctuates.
So but can making you give, sure I, listeners who haven't had the pleasure of experiencing one of my HIIT workouts or one of my harder workouts, can you kind of go through a sample workout, like what you'll do today or what you did yesterday?
Yeah, freaking awesome is how I'd start by saying it. So you hooked me up too. You know, we've got a rowing machine, a little gym at home, and a little rowing machine, box jump, and stuff like that. So you hooked us up with something specific to our thing. So I love to row. So my HIIT workout, rested yesterday, day before, was I did the 5-minute warm up on the row, and then I did interval 20 on, 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off, 8 cycles. And then a 5 cool, you know, kind of keep it going, rest, and then hit that again for another 8 cycles, and then 5-minute cool down. I think it's a 23-minute workout. It's perfect. I mean, it's nuts. I can be just on fire in the morning and start feeling myself getting a little up, you know?
Yep.
And just go hit that, and I'm just, boom, done. So I usually do that around now, you know? We're talking right now at, you know, 10-something, and between 10 and noon.
Yeah. Yeah, and for those of you listening in who might be a, you know, a triathlete or a marathoner or someone of that nature, you know, Brian's goal here is to, well, it's basically to maintain lean muscle, to burn fat, and to have enough fitness to feel really, really good cardiovascularly and from an energy standpoint. You know, and if you're a busy person listening in, you can do those type of workouts, those 20 to 30 minutes, you know, high intensity type of workouts that I have Brian doing. And then if you want to go out and do a marathon or a triathlon or something like that, you just pick one weekend day and you use that for like a stamina day. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think a lot of people are under the impression that, oh, you can't just work out 20 minutes a day. You got to do an hour long lunchtime run or, you know, a morning bike ride and an evening swim. But frankly, high intensity interval training is, you know, something I personally incorporate quite a bit. I do it at the end of my day, not in the middle of my work day. And then, you know, you throw in one stamina effort on the weekend, and you know, you can really go out and do quite a bit with that type of routine if you're a busy person who doesn't have time to do the longer stuff.
Yep. Yeah, and we had the 80-20. You know, I wanted you to get me where I wanted to be. And then data wise too, I didn't do the specific way. We didn't have a scale or body fat, but my hunch is we wanted to put on 10 pounds of lean muscle, and I didn't have the precise measure, but I'd guess I was probably 18-20% body fat at 160, 158, at 6 feet tall, six, a little over that, in 170, 10%. So you probably put on, and I had you check my math here, 25 pounds of muscle. And I feel like you did it. All I did was do what you told me to do. You know, I'm like, damn, that's amazing. But lost, you know, whatever that was in fat, 15 pounds of fat, and put on 25 pounds of muscle. And it was nuts. Just doing what you asked me to do. So just deep appreciation for you. And my wife had her similar gains in the work you did with her. So I just want to make that clear how much we appreciate you.
I appreciate that. So obviously the day does not end with dinner and having checked off your workout and business. You've got, of course, evening routines. You talked about how you journal, I think, or do the 5-minute journal in the evening. But what else does your evening routine consist of? What are some of the big wins for you for your nighttime routine?
Simplicity. So we're super boring. We have a 19-month-old, and one of our practices is called boring sameness. So we really wanted to give him a context in which he can flourish, where he just has boring sameness. You know, we don't go out a ton. You know, he sleeps when he needs to sleep, and we do the exact same thing every night. He's been alive for 19 months, which is however many days that is, over 500 days, 490 of them, we've done exactly the same thing, which is, you know, we get ready, you know, have dinner, get ready, do a little playing, and we go for a walk. 15, 20-minute walk. Come in, put him down. And then my wife and I, this is, you know, 7:38 is with the time change, et cetera. We get ready. So we don't turn on any lights. We play a game. You know, it's all whatever you call that, blue light friendly lights. You know, we've got them around the house, and we've got our little glasses on, and you know, we're getting ready for bed at 8. Like, 9's a late night for me. I hate to be wrapping up by 9. I got 5.5 hours of sleep a few nights ago, which is the first time I've gotten less than 7 in a long time, just because something came up, and it's fine. But you know, I love 8 hours. I've got my little up band, so I can track that and see how we're doing. And I'm just all about that, and we both are, which helps. And I take a shower. I love taking a hot shower. That's kind of part of my
evening.
You know, that body temperature drop I find really helpful. I was testing the little bit of MCT, and it's a tiny bit of honey a little bit, just for stabilization, aspirin style. And I don't do that all the time, but if I didn't eat quite enough, you know, and I don't want to eat a full meal, I'll do that. Yeah. Which feels good. So
yeah. What's been working for me with that, that whole, if I don't get a chance to eat a good big dinner before bed, and I know I'm going to wake up later on at night hungry, for a good mix of those medium chain triglycerides and amino acids that actually taste good, what I'll do about an hour or so before bedtime is I'll just take a little bit of full fat coconut milk and put that into a little bowl, and I add about 2 tablespoons of collagen. So you get this nice amino acid release while you're asleep. And then I put about 1 teaspoon of dark chocolate powder in that. And stir all that up, and then I put it into the freezer. And it's kind of like this bittersweet chocolate coconutty ice cream once you pull it back out before you go to bed. But that's something that I've been doing lately for that nighttime snack, if I need a nighttime snack. and then speaking of the MCT, actually for the first time last night, based off of an article that I read from Dave Asprey, and I've done this before with other oils, but never with MCT, is I did oil pulling. Where you have you done this before?
You know, a bunch of people on our team are doing it. Tell me.
Yeah, so oil pulling is this Ayurvedic practice of swishing oil in your mouth as an antiviral and antibacterial for your gums and your mouth. And what you do is you just kind of work the oil through your teeth and around in your mouth for about 10 minutes. And the idea is that it improves your oral health and can potentially help with things like, you know, breath, teeth whitening, things of that nature. And so yeah, did that for about 10, 15 minutes last night while I was going about my bedtime routine. It was interesting, but there's a new use for MCT oil for our listeners.
Who would have known? That's fantastic. Yeah.
I think traditionally in Ayurvedic practice, they'll use like sesame oil or ghee for something like that. But yeah, if you have some extra MCT oil lying around, there's that.
Very cool.
So so another thing that I wanted to ask you was about supplements. Like we talked about you taking Chinese adaptogenic herbs and doing your golf ball size of ginger every day. And I'm curious if you're doing anything else when it comes to supplementation, because we're all nerds when it comes to biohacking over at Ben Greenfield Fitness, of course.
Yeah, well, you got me on the ginger. You got me on the bone broth. We've constantly got bone broth in the freezer. We do it like once every week, 10 weeks. We actually put 2 chickens into a huge, whatever you call that thing, crock pot, and cook it up.
Yep.
I do the curcumin on your recommendation. You got me into, I might have been doing it with my wife, but you made sure I got into it. The krill oil. I do, what's the other kind of, I do vitamin D, of course. What's krill oil? Cod liver oil. I do that as well. And then, you know, now I do the ginger tea. So I do a little ginger lemon honey tea several times a week. I just like it. And it's kind of my fun way to do it these days. And I think that's what I do. I might be missing something. Tea and chi. Yeah. But that's about it.
Yeah, interesting. It's a good protocol. So you're getting your omega-3 fatty acids. You're getting your anti-inflammatories. You're getting some of those herbs. So it's a good baseline protocol without too much complexity. Now, the other question I have for you, Brian, because there's so many different places we can go, but and so many things you've been involved with, but I want to hit on this other thing, and that is there's a documentary on Joseph Campbell called Finding Joe, and apparently you were involved with that. I've heard wonderful things about that documentary, but I'm curious what that's all about.
Yeah, so a guy named Pat Solomon, just extraordinary human being. He actually was a philosopher's notes guy, and I have 3 notes on Joseph Campbell, and he had been kicking around the idea of kind of modernizing the Bill Moyers interviews on the power of myth and making it like cool in the 21st century. And I think, you know, my philosopher's notes helped catalyze that for him. He reached out to me as the first person he wanted to interview, thinking I was in Topanga, California. He was in Venice. I was actually in Bali at the time. Long story short, he flew out to Bali and filmed me. I introduced him to some friends, and he just hustled and got a great group of people talking about the modern day hero's journey. So bringing Joseph Campbell's wisdom to life, Tony Hawk, Laird Hamilton, the founder, the guy who runs the Joseph Campbell Foundation, and a bunch of great teachers. So yeah, I happened to be part of that, and he just did a great job. I watch it, you know, I've watched it probably 6 times, and each time I get something out of it that just really catalyzes my life, my own hero's journey. So I'm sure if you're into to this and you're listening to this, you'd love the movie.
Does somebody need to be a philosophy nerd to really? The reason I ask is, like, I've never really been that into philosophy, honestly. I thought it was kind of one of the more boring classes that I took in college. And when I listened to your philosopher's notes, like, that was the first time that this stuff would kind of, like, practically made sense to me. But I'm curious about this Finding Joe movie. Like, if people are going to be able to get something out of it, if they're not just, you know, like, totally enamored with philosophy.
I'm with you. I hated my philosophy class. I got a B in my philosophy class at UCLA. I hated it. One of my least favorite classes. Because they went intellectual on it. And philosophy means love of wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge of life. That's a life hacker. That's a biohacker, is a philosopher, a lover of wisdom. Not these pedantic ivory tower, let's see if we can count the number of angels on a pinhead type of discussion. It's how do you live, you know? And part of what I want to do is rebrand the idea of what a philosopher is. So if you're into this stuff, you're doing Ironmans, you're performing at the level that you're performing at, if you're this far into this interview, you, in my mind, are a philosopher. You're a lover of wisdom and optimizing your life, and you love the movie. You're also a hero. You're committed to living a truly extraordinary life. And that's what Joseph Campbell talked about. Every single movie that we love, Star Wars, George Lucas was... Joseph Campbell was one of George Lucas's mentors. He based Star Wars on his work.
Yeah.
And all mythology is based on what he calls the hero's journey.
Yeah.
And so this movie is about that and about translating those ideas into our lives. So I think I can't wait for you to see it. We're going to send you a copy. And if you're into living your hero's journey, living an extraordinary life, you're going to love the movie.
All right, cool. Well, I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. And obviously, there's tons of other stuff we talked about. For those of you who want to check out Brian's How to Meditate Without Moving to the Himalayas free class that he's going to hook us up with, I'll put a link to that. I've taken a bunch of notes from all of his big wins, from his longevity tea to his wellness effects testing to, of course, the philosopher's notes, which is where I first found Brian. And Brian, anything else that you wanted to share with folks before I let you go?
Well, you know, I'm going to share my deep appreciation for you again. You are a wizard. You know, in our work together and the calls we had, I'm like, dude, who is this guy? Like, Alexander and I would joke about that. Like, your depth and your commitment to this stuff is awesome. So I appreciate you and what you've done for our family. And just really enjoyed our chat. Keep up the great work. We're thrilled to be playing together.
That makes my day. So, well, cool. If you're listening in, you can head over to bengreenfieldfitness.com. I'll have links for everything that Brian and I talked about, and you can just go over there and do a search for Brian Johnson, or just click on the show note link that you'll find over in iTunes, and you'll be able to get it there. So until next time, this is Ben and Brian signing out from bengreenfieldfitness.com. Have a fantastic week.
Visit BenGreenfieldFitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness, nutrition, and performance advice.